what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and you've stumbled upon episode 226, the big 226 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. Do me and yourself a favor and go visit us over at Facebook.com/JustUsGeeks. Give us a like over there. Sorry about that, Skrillex. I didn't mean to interrupt you. And Twitter and Instagram at JustUsGeeks. And our Facebook group, which you can see our little review we just did of Ecto Cooler, because it's delicious. Damn it, I ruined it. But go watch the video anyway. So there we go. Joining me for tonight's episode is one Logan Barnes.
Is this that Skrillex and Huey Lewis mix song here?
Nope. They're both dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
At least to me.
Aw.
And one Ethan Macaroni.
I'll take, does Logan like the weenie for 1,000, Alex? What is yes?
Who likes the weenie, James Stratton?
Hey, and
James.
Logan.
James.
Logan likes the weenie.
No proof that that was me, guys. No proof at all. Yeah. Except that proof that says it was totally me.
Likes the weenie, Logan likes the weenie.
I tell you who doesn't like the weenie or Logan's weenie. Dan Marsh.
Hey!
Hey! It's basically his show.
It's keep, the keep unofficial your fifth member of the Justice
I don't want to be talking about weenies on my show.
No, it's fine. You...
It's just Logan's weenie.
We'll
you are what you eat.
I'll take weenies for $400.
Yes, you will. We'll take them far, far away.
He'll take them cheaper than that, too.
He would also like a daily double if that could be arranged. Yeah.
No, man.
Weenies, weenies everywhere. But
I think this is my final Jeopardy.
Yes.
What would that final Jeopardy question be? For you.
The wailing weenie. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Jeopardy. I almost said weenies there first.
So we're going to talk about weenies.
Welcome to the weenie
episode.
This is really about Wienerville. That old, we're continuing the Nickelodeon. No, actually, it's
Socko.
It's not about that at all. So, all right. As we've talked about for a couple weeks.
It's not dubstep, Logan.
It's just 8-bit. So stop. You're ruining.
Stop it.
I wish I could mute you in my eyeballs.
Facebook Live this right now, so yeah. Everybody knows.
No, it's okay.
Jeez,
it's okay.
You'll stop then.
So it's not every day that you're like, hey, I know a dude who was on the Jeopardies.
And but not we only do.
Yeah, we get to say that every day now.
Yeah.
From here on out.
I'm totally riding your coattails.
It's a watershed
man.
Moment.
Yes, sir.
Dan, you can now run for elected office.
Yes. Yes. I was on Jeopardy, and I'm Sharon Stone's cousin.
I gotta update the resume.
So the first thing is always going to be true, and the second thing is
always going to be false.
I was on Jeopardy, and I'm also Batman. Goodbye. And just anything you want.
Just become governor and start passing out Jeff Hardens.
Mm.
Oh, gosh.
You know there are no puns on Jeopardy. So
I'm going to give you that big Alex Trebek. No.
Yeah. I really wish that Trebek was here.
Shut me down.
Because I don't think that Trebek
he goes
would...
over and shakes your hand and goes, Logan, you're such an idiot. Yeah.
This is
get
Logan.
Off my stage.
This is Logan Barnes. He doubled majored in moron.
Just walks away.
And passed with flying
and
colors.
He likes the weenie.
I double
majored in your mother, Trebek.
Just the way your mother likes it. Your mother, Logan. Again on the podcast, boom sauce. Anyway, so
that's the only time.
No cake this time either.
It's like wow.
No, you started it. Anyway, so
you did start it.
So you know when, we talked a couple weeks ago on the Nickelodeon episode, we're like, oh, we knew this person who was on one of the Nickelodeon shows and was on a game show and this and that, and like. You always want to know what goes into making these shows that you've watched for pretty much all your life. And I think everybody has watched Jeopardy at least once or twice.
No.
Yes, you have.
Or Celebrity Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, I never
pretty
wanted to know
thing.
What goes into it.
Oh, well.
I've never once questioned, like, well, how do they make Jeopardy?
Well, here's the door. You got your Ecto Cooler. No, I was playing. So,
sweet. I can go home.
You get to turn that Ecto Cooler in, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I need a return on that. And it has to be the same color as when it came
I'm
out.
I'm sure
of
it will be.
Be pretty close.
Yeah. So
there are people who want to know because I did. You know, Dan's been, and I'll let Dan tell all of this, but he's been taking the Jeopardy test for a long time. He got his feelings hurt on episode 200 of the Just Us Geeks podcast.
Did we make fun of him or something?
No.
No, we beat him in Jeopardy.
Yeah, that was that episode. Yeah. We did. We whooped your mom, Dan.
But see, then...
There's an asterisk or two in there.
Yeah, but see, then...
No, there's not. A win is a win.
Zero
is a win.
Asterisk.
You whipped my asterisk. Yeah.
But see, then he was like, you know what? I don't need any of you guys. I'm going to go be on real Jeopardy.
Hey, that was real Jeopardy to me.
Yeah, it was.
As real as it's ever going to get for you.
You got that right.
There's like some rule that James and I can't compete as a team. So.
Fix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to be on your own. On real
if there
Jeopardy.
Were team Jeopardy, you guys
totally win.
You would lose miserably.
You would lose miserably, but you would definitely get an invite just for giggles.
Yeah. We'd be the comedy relief of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
They're like, we never had jokes on here before.
How does this work now?
Actually, they did, and we'll talk about him in a minute.
His name is Kyle. Good one. Yes.
Eat it, Kyle.
You get a hand clap for that one.
Yes. So, you know, like, as a kid, I watched a lot of Wheel of Fortune and other shows, including Jeopardy. And, you know, you just kind of wonder, is a person sitting at home, well, is it like what you see on TV? You know, what are the people who run the show like? All kinds of things. And so...
Is Kyle Murphy a jerk?
Yes, he is.
Is he really a...
Bob Dane? He is literally the antithesis of his brother, Tim.
If the infinite universe theory is true, is Kyle a
Bob Dane
in all of them?
Yes. Yeah, it's Tim Murphy. But
y'all Tim can Murphy. Hate Kyle all you want to, but Kyle loves himself enough to cover
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
he's okay. That's
like
why
he
can
was
make
his
fun
number
of
one fan.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that guy.
Yeah. So we'll get to Kyle. In a
I
second.
Hope he calls you. He's like, I heard you talk about me, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's listening to this podcast in North Carolina.
Yeah.
He's crying right now.
Oh. What if
it mean me? I'm the dick.
What if this dude that Dan beat in Jeopardy was like actually someone who listened to the show and was like,
oh, that'd be hilarious.
Son of a
we talk about podcasts a lot.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. That guy's name looks familiar. I think he's in Jugheads Incorporated.
No.
He's actually not, but you should be. So go find him on Facebook. So,
Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
Get in our group so we can burn you all
so
day.
So can belittle you.
So you can get beaten again. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about how you got interested in Jeopardy, how you found out about the tests, and all of how you got to be on the show.
Well, it started in 84, and my dad liked to watch it, and so it would come on when we got home from school. And, of course, back then you didn't have DVR, so I didn't get to watch it every day. It's just when I happened to catch it being on. But I've always been a fan. And in 2006, they started giving an online test. You know, previously you had to go to L.A. to audition.
Oh, wow.
And every now and then they would have, like, an audition bus that would travel around the Clue crew. I think it came to Tunica one time, you know, if you could catch one of those in the big city.
Yeah, yeah.
But starting in 2006, they started giving the online test, and I started taking it. And I took it every year except for the writer's strike. And then one year I didn't have an internet connection. But other than that, I've taken it for 10
this
years.
This has been a 10-year journey.
Yes.
It only took Jeopardy 10 years after, like,
yeah.
the internet evolved to get online testing.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. But I took it, pretty much every year. And this in 2015, of course, 10,000 people pass the test out of the 100,000 who take it, but only 3,000 get invited to audition. So I don't know how they don't tell you how you did. So I don't know how many times I passed it. But this year was my first time to get to audition, and I went to Atlanta to audition on my son's 13th birthday. And out of the 3,000 who audition, 1,000 get put into the contestant pool. And out of those 1,000, 400 actually get selected to be on the show. So you get a 0.04% chance, 0.4% chance, 0.4% chance of being on the show. And I barely made it. So
when you go to Atlanta, that's still no guarantee.
Correct.
You could win your Correct. Little round or your little competition, and there's still no guarantee you're
going to
get there.
So you take an online test, which is
50 questions.
Very. It was actually the
episode 200.
Episode 200, the final round we did of you guys against Dan was a Jeopardy test. Well, he played both of you.
And I was
test.
Coming from behind to start, so
no,
I actually got more questions
true.
Correct.
But did we clear the score out for that?
No, you did not.
No.
We did.
I started out in the hole.
Yeah.
Our show, you sit there and you be quiet.
Hey, Donald Trump, are you the one that started out in the hole? I forgot about it.
It's going to be a great wall. It's going to be huge.
I am, like, really smart. Oh. So
we answered a lot of questions.
I would love to see Donald Trump on Jeopardy.
Oh, has he not done a celebrity Jeopardy?
No, I doubt it very seriously.
What is it? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
what was that?
I don't know. He just held his hand up.
That's Italian Trump.
Yeah.
In his mind, that was a perfect Trump impression.
Yeah, you could,
totally was.
You squinted your eyes and everything. So
he's a method actor. He's thinking like Trump.
If I could only get to Photoshop
you. Doesn't matter, it was perfect.
If I could get to Photoshop you in behind Dan.
Look at it. He looks like he just sucked on a lemon.
Yeah. So does Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's actually, he can do a good face impression.
That was an actual Jeopardy test. I actually took 50 questions from a Jeopardy test.
Dan at.
Anyway, so if you go back and listen to episode 200, you can hear sort of the level of the questions in that test, although I felt like that one was really easy compared to some of the others.
Well, out of the 50 questions, usually there's 20 that are easy, 10 that are hard, and 20 that are kind of mid-grade if you just happen to know about the...
And that's timed, right? Like,
yes.
How many seconds
You have 15 seconds per question.
So you can't, Wikipedia it.
No.
And is it multiple choice or is it...
No.
I didn't think so. I thought it was fill in the blank.
They don't hold you to spelling and you don't have to phrase it in the form of a question like you do on the show. Uh-huh. But what I've done for probably the last 5 years or the last five times I took the test is I recorded with my iPad so I could go back and check my answers because they don't tell you how many you got right or wrong.
Right.
So if you don't just remember 50 questions, you don't know how you did.
Right.
But I usually average about 35. This year I got 40, so I guess 40 is about the cutoff out of the 50.
Nice. And is compared to other game shows like Wheel of Fortune, per se, I would say this is probably a more difficult audition because you have to really be intelligent to get to this point.
I mean, it's all TV shows, and so they want characters. Right. You could be the smartest person in the world, but if you're like a wet sock, they're not going to want you on their TV show.
Right.
Who wouldn't want to look at a wet sock for 30 minutes?
Well, James, there are 0.001% people like you.
He had his arms crossed the whole time.
His arms crossed, he had a little bow tie on the entire time.
Every show is going to want a good personality and somebody who knows how to play the game. But Jeopardy adds on top of that you have to have some trivia knowledge as well.
Right. So, well, I guess I could say that the side of it that you could get a total moron who could do nothing but answer questions incorrectly.
Kyle.
He answered three or four.
Oh, hell.
Sorry about that. But, Wheel of Fortune and stuff like that, I think now it's more based on your personality. A lot of these shows are based on your personality, where this is still a quiz show that's actually based on a modicum of intelligence, whether or not you have it. Obviously, if you can get 35 to 40 of those questions right in the amount of time, that's probably a good start. So,
When you go to the interview, you have to take another 50 question test before you actually interview and play the mock game.
Oh, okay.
To make sure that you didn't have James and Logan over here on behind your shoulder giving you all the answers when you take the test.
Okay, so how did that happen? You walk into a room, they give you a computer or what?
No.
Is it a written?
It's on a board, and they give you an answer sheet with 50 slots, and you have to fill in the answers.
So you still have to write down your answers.
Yes.
Nice.
You have to prove that you're smart five times before you even get
totally.
Up there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
You can't just be C.
But no, as you do that, when you do a mock game, which they go through and tell you how the buzzer works and everything, and you actually use one of the buzzers from the show, same size and same works the same way.
Locks you out if you answer too quickly.
Yes.
So in the mock game, how similar was the mock game to the actual?
They were much easier questions
in the mock game,
and you wouldn't play the whole thing. You basically do half a board a piece, and then they'd do a few interview questions and then move on to the next
people. Who hosted the mock game?
Her name was Corinne. She was in LA when I went as well.
Oh,
but
is she one of the Jeopardy crew?
Well, she's not one of the Clue crew. Uh-huh. They're the contestant wranglers, but they are all really nice people. They were very boisterous and outgoing, and they want you to succeed. They want you to have a good time and be into it because the happier you are, the better the show is.
Yeah,
so they were all really super great people.
Nice. So
did you have a good time?
I had a blast.
Okay. That's all I care about.
How many games did you play? Just one?
Just
in
one.
The test? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not even a full game. I probably did about 20 questions.
Did you win those questions?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
As far as I remember.
He doesn't know.
Did you get them all right?
No,
was Kyle
I didn't get them
just
all
glaring
right.
at you the whole time?
No, Kyle wasn't at that one. Yeah. I think he went to Virginia. They have auditions in 6 to 8 big cities around the country.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. So okay, you went from the mock game, and the next day they said, get on a plane, you're going to be on TV.
No, that was June the 14th, and they said, you're in the contestant pool for 18 months. Mm-hmm. We may call you, we may not call you.
Right.
And so I just sort of put it on the back burner and, you know.
To be hope for the best. To be totally honest, I forgot about it.
Well, it was
I honestly did.
They called me in March of this year, 2016.
Of the next year.
So it was 9 months later before I heard anything.
Wow. Yeah.
And
so what were you doing that day?
I was watching Wolf Hall on TV. And I did not answer the phone when they called because I thought it was a telemarketer. And yeah. I said, they left a voicemail. I said, well, I'll check the voicemail when this episode ends. And I checked it. And I still have the voicemail. I saved it. And it was, hey, this is so-and-so. I work for Jeopardy. Give me a call. I work for a TV show called Jeopardy, and so I called her.
You called back like, what is Jeopardy?
What is the winner?
Well, I called her, and nobody answered. And so I left her. I left her a message, and then I was on my way to watch 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I called my sister to tell her about the message. And while I was talking to my sister, she called back, and I said, "Amanda, I gotta go. Jeopardy's on the line." So I answered the phone, and I in the parking lot at the Malco's when she told me that I was going to be on Jeopardy.
So how did you sit through the movie knowing you were going to be on Jeopardy?
I walked in, and it really made the movie a lot better, I think.
Have you rewatched the movie just to see?
No. I mean, I enjoyed the movie anyway, but I was like, I saw a guy from work there, and I said, hey, you're the first person I saw. You're the first person I'm going to tell. I'm going to be on Jeopardy. And he was like, his name's Kurt Shoemaker, a guy from work.
Oh, I know Kurt. Yeah.
I don't think he cared. It's like, okay, go sit down, weirdo. Yeah.
So I'm going to be on Jeopardy. So?
I will say this.
When we got work to do, man.
When Emily let me listen to the forwarded voicemail, she did the whole shut up Lane Bennis thing. And I was like, oh my God. Ow. I was like, thanks a lot, Dan. That really. No, so 9 months is a long time to just be like,
that's a baby.
Yeah.
It was your Jeopardy, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, you don't expect to get the call to the audition, but you do, and then you don't expect, you can't hope for it because, like I said, I've been trying for 10 years, and you just hope for the best, but.
I mean, I guess there are people who are like, I'm going to take it the first time.
I'm obviously going to get selected for the show, you know, because I'm awesome.
Yeah, no.
I want to meet that one guy who's like, just first year, does the test, gets selected.
I'm sure there's some have happened, which there were some people there in Atlanta. One woman had taken it 9 times.
Oh,
had
been,
had done the live interview 9 times.
Oh, my God.
They just brought her back for entertainment.
I bet she comes back again this year.
She was good. Like, she was giving us all pointers. She was a lawyer.
And you're like, hey, let me get your number. So when I'm on Jeopardy, I can call and laugh in your stupid face. She probably watched it and was like, that guy.
I wish I would have gotten her name because it would have been interesting to see if she actually made it on the show.
Her name is Mrs. Kyle Murphy.
But there were 4 or 5 people who had been there more than one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm lucky in that in my first audition, I actually got to be on the show.
Yeah, well, it's because you have a beaming personality.
Well, I'm 6'3", 400 pounds, you know.
Not your traditional Jeopardy
redhead
contestant.
Redhead, yeah. Yeah. So.
So
from Corinth, Mississippi.
Corinth,
Mississippi.
Yeah, Johnny.
He's 91 years old. He does not care.
Yeah, nope. Johnny
he
Gilbert.
Not Corinth.
He does not care.
Johnny Gilbert, the voice of Jeopardy, who has survived Don Pardo,
and it was walking up and down the stairs, talking to people, livening up the crowd before the show started. Yeah, you know,
like Krusty the Clown. Hey,
no, don't do that to Tom.
No, he was really nice, very, very nice man.
So you get the call. They're like, Dan, let's go be on Jeopardy. How do you get there? Like, what?
I'm sure
you
took a plane.
Well, I guess he did.
Well, a guy asked me yesterday, did you drive? I was like, no, that's a 2.5-day drive. But no, you have to book your own flight. They do tell you a hotel that you can stay at that you get a $50 discount on for Sony. So. Mm-hmm. I stayed at the
and we won't name it, but let's just say that there were 2 trees involved.
Do they have like a block for that, like during the recording that they kind of
were
there out or
was
it,
there
like, if that hotel sold out?
Was there
just
the blood of previous contestants on the walls?
They do tell you to make your reservation early, you know, because it will book up. But
yeah,
they have a shuttle that takes you directly from the hotel to the studio. And the first person I talked to that morning at the hotel was the guy who beat me, and he was a really nice guy.
Dang. But
he just leaned in and whispered, Hail Hydra.
He had your number.
He had been an alternate the day before, so he knew all the ins and outs, like he had seen everything. But he didn't get selected. So he knew what was happening, you know, pretty well. So he was telling us all, okay, you'll do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I did not know the girl that was the champion, but she was there on the van with us. And then when we got to the green room, they was like, okay, champ. And I was like, oh, okay, she's the winner. But she was just acting like, you know, another person.
Yeah.
Hmm. Little did I know that she was a two-day champion at that time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Yeah. So you go into film. Tell us how that process works.
Well, the morning you get there, they go ahead and do makeup. They have some forms you have to fill out, all that stuff. They talk about your fact that Alex is going to talk about. And then you go out and you basically do dress rehearsals for about 2 hours.
What is a dress rehearsal of Jeopardy like?
They get the cameras. They get the there are platforms behind each of the podiums to make sure that you're all the same height.
Like, that makes sense.
They do as close as they can. Now, the first show I saw, the Monday, there was a guy named Hans who is like 6'8".
Jeez.
And Ellen, the champion, was about 5'1".
Oh my gosh. Like,
okay, if we made them the same height, we're going to be seeing Ellen's ankles. So they, you know, but if you look, me, Prenjal, and Kyle were about the same height. I was about a foot taller than both of them.
Yeah, that's right.
But they get those levels right. They take some pictures. The picture that I had on Facebook, they do that then. You know, get all the camera lighting, and then they want to make sure that everyone knows how the buzzer works.
Yeah.
You know, back in the Ken Jennings days, it was not like that. This is something they added during his run because he was. Part of his dominance was because he knew the buzzer so well.
And
so halfway through his run, they instigated this where everybody would know you do not go on the show without at least having rung in.
You mean to
times.
Tell me they would just put people on the show without?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
So that's why I don't think anybody would ever top his record because they did that. And there was one other thing I can't remember off the top of my head that they kind of instilled that to stop that kind of run from happening.
Okay, so they film an entire week's worth in one day, correct?
So how many of the other contestants are you with?
You're with them all.
How many all day?
There were two alternates who wound up not going on, and Ellen repeated as a champion the Monday, and then Pranjal was there from then on. I think by the time this comes out, he's already won his fourth game, so I can tell you that. But there were, I think, 12 of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
And nice. So you shoot an entire week's worth in one day.
Mm-hmm. You shoot 3 in the morning.
So Trebek only works one day a week.
No.
They shoot 3 weeks worth. They shoot either Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or just Tuesday and Thursday.
And then he takes 3 weeks off.
So he's been working it like that a long time.
Yeah.
How did the place change when Trebek was in the building?
Oh, like which he did not come out a whole lot. Like, basically, he would, at the end of a game, he would go back and change his suit, you know, because he wears a different suit every day. And he would not come out until Johnny announced him. So there was he wasn't there for the dress rehearsals and stuff.
Yeah.
No. But he did take questions. He does take questions from the audience during the commercial breaks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and both my brother and sister got to ask him a question, and he answered them. So,
you know, I saw recently where during one of those audience question answer sessions, someone said, "Can I have your tie?" And it was like one of the ties that he always wears, and he was just like, "Okay,
sure,"
and gave it to him after the show.
Oh my gosh,
weird.
That's.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
I mean, I'm sure those ties get donated to him from some company.
It's on eBay now.
Yeah, probably. So, all right. So that I think that's one of the things that people are like, "Oh, I thought you were just there like yesterday." No. Like you filmed this months ago.
Right. People at work were asking me, "So when are you flying out?" I was like, "Oh, I recorded it 3 months ago."
Yeah. That's how it works. Okay, let's talk about the game. Trebek comes on. Changes.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into this game
just the way a mother likes it.
And it's somebody I've been watching for 30 years, so I was very starstruck. If you saw the episode, it's like
you watched it.
Oh my god, there's Alex Trebek! Oh my god, there's Alex Trebek!
Hold me back, Kyle.
The show could have ended right then, and I'm a happy man. You know, it was awesome.
Because I said while we were setting up and watching the show, I was like, "What the hell's wrong with you, Dan?"
You were like super nervous. But you've been in front of, you know, hundreds of people at a time on stage.
But zero Alex Trebek.
This is the time you're like,
I just, oh, I bit my tongue like Ian did earlier. Ian bit your tongue?
Not his tongue. My own Logan's tongue.
He bit Logan's tongue.
My own tongue.
And Logan likes the weenie.
Yeah, that's...
My own...
What is the weenie?
My own...
Weenie in the bud.
My own...
Anyway, so... One more time. I bit my tongue.
The musical lyrics to this song imply that Logan enjoys the...
What is the weenie?
What is the weenie, Alex?
Yeah, there it is. So,
oh hell.
So you, you get to doing the show. Trebek comes out, and what did you think? Like when the lights come up, Johnny Gilbert says, "This is Jeopardy." What was your first thought?
It was, "This is a game. Like, have fun." That's what they drilled it into you.
It wasn't surreal for you. You weren't just like, "Oh my god."
No, because a lot of the surreality came in some of the dress rehearsals, because I was there working the buzzer, looking at the board, answering the questions. You know, it, Alex being there added another level to it. But they do a really good job at getting you ready and getting you calm and. And getting you used to the environment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure that's a little bit different. I mean, you know, anytime I think you like run into a celebrity, it's one thing. But like when you have a scheduled date with one, it's like, in
you ain't got nothing but time to think about.
Right. Yeah. And I was also lucky in the fact that I was in the fourth game of the day. Like it's all the way it's drawn. You know, it's luck of the draw. Yeah. And so I had seen three games played already. Mm-hmm. And we went to, you go to lunch after the third game and they change out the audience and we all went to lunch together. Pranjal was a 2-day champion at that time and was worried about his leftovers when he just won $40,000. I was like, man, he said, waste not, want not.
I wish you'd have beat the hell out of
him. No, he was a good kid. I don't mind losing to
Kyle was just like, I'm sorry.
He was a theoretical physicist who graduated from MIT, so I don't mind that I lost to him.
Absolutely not.
You did put the fear in him in that first round.
I was okay with my performance. You know, just to be there was the thrill. But after we got back from lunch, we did another round of dress rehearsals to kind of remind everybody.
Oh, yeah,
of,
that's nice.
So I was probably the most prepared group.
Oh, wow.
Because having seen the morning and then getting another dress rehearsal right before.
That really makes a 2-day champion or anybody that's a repeat champion pretty impressive, because it sounds like it's going to have to be a stamina thing.
It's pretty grueling.
Well, yeah. I think that it would be much easier knowing that. It'd be a lot easier to get into a rhythm, you know, like in any form of like sports or even like, you know, some competitive board games, you get into a rhythm, man, it's hard to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Ken Jennings just rolled through everybody he could find, he was in a rhythm, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and I know that has to help, especially if you're feeling the buzzer and, you know, I mean, I just think
I'd be so mentally exhausted. Like,
I would say 50% of the game, maybe 60, is the trivia knowledge you have. 30% of it is working the buzzer, and then the other 10% would be timing and luck.
So what were the rules on the buzzer?
Okay, you cannot buzz in until Alex finishes the question. And what happens is there's a production assistant sitting over to the side, and when he deems Alex finished reading the question, he activates the board. And what you can't see from home, whenever they're showing the clue, you know, they're just showing that one screen.
Yeah.
But actually around the entire board, there's a row of lights.
Like it used to be.
And those lights will come on, and that's when you're able to buzz in.
That's how they used to
now,
do it.
Now, if you buzz before the lights come on, you're locked out for half a second. So if you see my game, there are several times where I'm clicking before somebody else, but I don't get they get the actual answer because I'm locked out. So timing is very, very important, and you kind of get used to the cadence of Alex's voice, mm-hmm. and you read the question and say, okay, the last word in this is sunflower. So as soon as I hear him say you know, start.
Go.
You
know. Golly, that's a lot to think about when you're trying to think about an answer.
That's another advantage to the champion, because they've already got that timing developed.
So yeah.
What does the space on stage look like? How do you see the questions, and how does
you're probably about 30 feet away from the board?
Jeez.
And if you can't see, they'll help you. There was a girl with cochlear implants in the first game, so they had no audio clues that game.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And any video daily doubles or video clues, which I don't think I had any, there's like a 52-inch Sony TV over there that that everyone watches.
Hey, Logan, it was in 4K.
Yeah. But
didn't make a difference.
Right. You actually see the clue on the board, you know, just like you see when you see the whole screen.
Yeah.
And so you read it yourself.
Does the question pop up on that 52-inch or whatever?
No.
Oh.
That's only for the video clues.
Ah, so. Wow.
So it's basically like looking at a 27-inch screen TV across a room.
Wow. That's tough.
Dude, that's really super challenging.
Well, it's as long as you got decent eyesight, which I'm sure if somebody had bad eyesight, that's part of the dress rehearsals. I say, okay, can you read all the clues very well? Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll make adjustments, I guess.
Did they give you the same clues?
As what?
In your dress rehearsals.
Oh, no. Those were much easier.
Yeah. Well, how do you spell cat?
With letters, fool.
Moo. So,
what's your favorite color? Just write
blue.
Any
no
color.
Red.
Right.
Ah!
Any color. Ah, man, that's
green. Wrong.
What is green? Yeah.
So, they put you at a bit of a disadvantage from the outset. I mean, you know, I mean,
that is a lot to overcome.
Yeah, I mean,
which I mean, the best, they say the best way to practice or to get ready for the show is to watch the show. And
right.
I mean, I watched it, especially when I knew I was going to be on it, religiously every day.
Yeah,
and tracked how I did and kind of, you know, go to J archives and look at past games. But you learn a lot about the flow of the game by watching the show.
Mm-hmm. And Trebek has that cadence in his voice that if you've ever really paid attention to the show or watched the show, I mean, Will Ferrell, I think that's why Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL was so great, was because Will Ferrell got his cadence down, you know what I mean? And that's just a Trebek thing, but it's, I mean, you really would think, okay, you see it cut and edited so differently than you actually played the game. It's... Wow, that's
you
pretty
said
incredible.
You had said something earlier about reshoots.
Well, during the commercial breaks, like he reads all the clues. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes he'll stammer over a clue, and so they'll actually re-record.
Alex Trebek does something incorrectly.
Yeah, it happened at least once per game.
Stupid Trebek.
And they do that on the commercial breaks, and he'll just reread it, and that's the version you'll hear on TV. Uh-huh. So,
oh, but you guys answered the question with a stammer.
So you don't exactly. It's not like a redo of the question.
No, it's
so there's also that opportunity for him to flub reading the question.
Actually, in Friday's game, there's a section, if you watch it, you'll probably see the cut, but a girl answered, I can't remember the details, but she was standing in a certain way, and they had to re-record because the screen messed up.
Uh-huh.
And so they said, okay, you have to stand like this. And like she had to put her arm exactly like it was and all.
Wow.
So they could reshoot that part. But most of it is audio re-recording. Uh-huh. And you'll hear him, you know, he does it in front of the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll go back to his podium and actually re-record.
Huh. Wow. Okay. I think that you forget when you're watching this show that this is a television show.
Yeah.
You know, it's cut and edited just like, I mean, not like, you know, like MTV or anything where they can make you look like a douchebag, but, you know.
Sometimes you can do that yourself.
Yeah, but.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Set you up.
let's talk a little bit about the first round of the game.
Yeah, let's talk about the first round. Let's not talk about the second round.
Well, we'll get there. The first round of the game, at one point in time, Alex Trebek said, Dan, you're the only one with any money.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes,
golden
he
moment.
Did.
You came out of that gate like lightning, man. Mm.
And I got to say, make it a true daily double. I mean, there's so much positive to take away from it. And
yes.
I got it correct.
Yes.
So
make it a true daily double. And you lose.
No, we won't talk about that part. No, but I mean, I got that right. The first round was my glory time. You know, that's when things went well. I was winning and got the daily double. Alex said, Dan Marsh, you're the only one with any money. So it was.
He didn't say last name. He just said, Dan, you're the only one with any money.
Well, you're right, but.
God, that's.
But you were the only Dan up there, so
there
you
could
assume
so,
he meant you.
That was parenthetical there.
So the daily double, how does that work?
Well, they ask you a question, and they double the points.
No, that's not how it works.
No.
It's in a random place on the board, mm-hmm. which usually it's in one of the middle three rows, the 400, 600, or 800. And when you get it, you're the only one who gets to answer it, and you can bet up to as much as you have. At the time I got it, I had $1,400, so I made it a true daily double and mm-hmm. got it correct, so I wound up with $2,800. But I didn't have to bet the whole $1,400. You can bet as little as zero if you think you don't know the category at all.
How long do you have to answer this question?
As long as you want.
That is an interesting fact.
Really?
That I don't
yes.
think people...
I didn't know that.
There is no time...
I don't watch Jeopardy.
There's no time on it at all. They will prompt you if they feel like you don't know it, but if you're still... If, if you're like drawing a blank, but it's in there and you're trying to crawl it out, they won't rush you.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So you could have milked that whole one round?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, they would have edited it.
Yeah.
But
Dan, I think he's having a stroke.
Dan. And then you answer, like, that's no, all the time we have. Dan, you're our winner.
Almost got it.
What is,
why is his face drooping?
So is that drool? I believe that's drool.
The champion's drooling. Yeah.
Kyle, quit trying to stab him.
We knew he loved Alex. Yeah. But.
So you do really, really well in the first 10, 15 questions. What did you think? Like, what crossed your mind?
Did you ever stop and like see where you were?
Forbid myself to think you have this. Absolutely, like, that thought tried to creep in there, and I was like, nope.
No.
This is Jeopardy. This is not Double Jeopardy. It's a whole nother game.
Yeah.
And so I had fun, though. Like, they drilled it in over and over. Have fun. This is a game show. And I was having fun.
How conscious of their scores were you?
Very. Because there's a screen over there where you can see their scores at all times.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's
probably so you can
I can't wait till you get to talk about Final Jeopardy. That was really fun to watch.
So you do really well. The questions, I mean, like, it was almost as if they tailored this game for you.
I had a few categories that, well, I had a few categories that I knew really well.
Yeah.
But I, if you know me at all, then you know that I came up with 40 categories and filled out about 150 3x5 note cards with all this information.
Yeah.
And I studied these.
Did you get those
daily?
Back?
No, I left them at Tanya's. Oh, yeah. I studied them daily. I recorded myself reading them onto my iPhone and listened to it while I slept. Like, this is my Bible for 2 months. Zero of the things that I studied on there were in my Jeopardy game.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I covered all the presidents, all of Shakespeare's plays, geography on every continent, playwrights, poets, composers, and none of the stuff that I studied.
There was one poet question.
Oh, there was a lot of there was a poetry category.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Not poets.
But not the ones that I studied. Like, I just, you know, picked out the ones that I thought I should know, and zero out of everything on there was on my Jeopardy game.
That's incredible.
So you can't study for Jeopardy.
I think just the process of, you know, studying for it. I mean, I know you can't like really do it because you don't know, but you know, the process of timing it, you know, getting yourself prepared to answer the question quickly. I think it probably went a long way.
Yeah, and you basically just have to have a good breadth of knowledge.
Right. A good broad source
of
knowledge.
Which all my life, you know, for as long as I can remember, I've loved reading books and watching movies and collecting these useless facts. I said, well, this will be good for Jeopardy one day. And now I'm over that hump, and so I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Wheel of Fortune!
Well, you can't use useless facts on Wheel of Fortune, though. It's
just spelling.
Yeah.
The price is right.
James, do not be on Wheel of Fortune.
I can't read. Actually, I'm pretty good at Wheel of Fortune. We joke about me not being able to read, but I'm actually
He reads at a fourth grade level.
Word.
No, it's a third grade level, sir.
You spun $400. That letter that looks like a cross.
He could read like a really stupid fourth grader or a really smart third grader. Yeah.
Give me the one with the hump and the stick. That's what I want.
Yeah, that old hump and stick letter.
So there's a point in the first round of your game.
What is banana?
No, that would be your answer.
Answer in the form of a question on Wheel of Fortune. Yes.
No.
No.
Like, you come back from the break, you tell your story about being in Tupelo Community Theater.
Corinth Theater Arts.
Corinth.
Yeah.
Corinth.
Yeah. No, Trebek said it right. It was, what's his name? That
Johnny
said,
Gilbert.
Backstage. Corinth. Backstage, Corinne, the woman who had ran the audition, she said, okay, now where are you from? Corinth. She said, Corinth. I said, no, Corinth. 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 I'm saying it like you're saying it. I said, no, you're saying Corinth. It's Corinth. And so she finally got it right. So I'm sure she drilled it into Alex how to say it properly because it took her a while to get it.
Why is that so hard?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's
Corinthian.
It's an ancient Greek city. Yeah. You think everybody, but no.
This is Jeopardy, people.
Did you know that there's a bust of the founder of Corinth in like the Capitol building in D.C.?
But she also was like from Jeopardy, the TV show. Oh, boy.
Well, it's not just her. I mean, all my life people have done that. Corinth, when my supplier's on the phone at work, Corinth.
I've never heard anybody call it
Are you serious? Corinth.
Corinth. No.
Simple reading.
It's not spelled corn.
I know.
I've heard Corinth.
All my life.
I've heard Corinth and Kasuth.
Yeah, Kasuth.
So going into...
Chalabete.
Going into the break, how are you feeling going into the break?
Pretty good. Things were going...
Just pee yourself a little bit?
I do what?
Just pee yourself a little
bit?
Well,
I always do that.
Did you get to like walk around, breathe?
No, they touch up your makeup. Uh-huh. You can get water if you want. And they're right.
Did they treat you differently at that point because you were women?
No, it's... the main guy, cannot remember his name, but he...
Alex Trebek.
No, the main contestant guy, he had been there for 30 years, and he said he doesn't even watch the show. Like, he doesn't care anymore.
But, wow. That's amazing.
And they didn't write my name on the waters. They just write your number. Like, the champ is one, the middle's two, and the end is three, and they write your number on your water, so you get the same water in the breaks. But... Here's your number two water. Let you have some water.
Do water.
And touch up your makeup.
So, did you get to write your name on your podium? Like,
yes,
you have
I did do that. Yes, you have a telestrator with a big, huge pen. It's kind of like you sign your name on a credit card when you pay.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
That's that sort of thing.
You should have drawn like a football play on it.
Yeah, I'm sure they would have appreciated that.
Yeah, he did.
Like, did you see him? He goes here. Do some Madden words.
Some people do stuff like that, but I'm very simple.
Just write Chris on it, and they'll be like, "What?
Who's Chris?" Like. I'm Dan.
Like, you're pronouncing it wrong.
It's Dan.
The CHRIS kind of funny. Is silent.
The name's Dane. The E is invisible.
Invisible. Oh my gosh.
So you go in. You finish up the round. There is a point in this round, at the end of the round one, where like you can see the guy who goes on to win. Like, you can see him totally decide. Oh. Balls, I'm losing.
This guy from Corinth came to play, and I'm going to lose if I don't get my stuff together.
It's really weird. It was like maybe you were beating him on the buzzer. Maybe, I mean, he answered a couple things incorrectly. You did answer more correctly than he did, I think. But, like, it's really odd. Like, and could you sense that in him in the game? Because I could visually see him go... Because James had said when we were watching, who's he looking at? I think he was just like, I got to get this together. I got to win this game. And knowing that he had already won a couple before, you know.
Well, I actually kind of felt that about the first 10% of Double Jeopardy, I was doing pretty well as well. That's when the Broadway category came in until I got derailed there. But around that time, that's when some of that was starting to sink in, where you could kind of hear him ramping up his game.
Yeah.
He really ramped up his game and wound up mopping the floor in the second round. And he got both daily doubles, which if you watched him play, he's one of these. He goes across and gets all the middle. Yes. Character. He's looking for the daily doubles, and he found them.
And that's what people are doing when they're doing that.
That's the chess game
when they hop around. It's a mental thing, but it messed him up in the first round because he left Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I went back to it where we left off and got the daily double in that round. So it can work against you as well,
right?
But it worked for him in the second round, and both the daily doubles were easy, so he was able to jump out.
Had he lost one, it would have been a totally different game.
Those daily devils were pretty easy.
They were pretty super
easy. So was mine. So I was second guessing myself because it was so easy. I was like, this can't
Waterloo.
Be.
Do you think that maybe that's what he was doing in the first round? Because it sort of, I don't know, like he was a totally different player.
Well, the thing is, in the first round, in the second round?
Yeah, after he got that first daily double, it was like, oh no, I got this, which was odd.
He did. Well, see, the first round, he just got so many wrong.
Yes.
In the second round, he didn't get near as many wrong. Maybe he said, okay, I better cool it, be more conservative.
Right.
Yeah. I don't need any negative scoring.
Well, because when you are training for this, you know, I think that's one of the things I heard you say is if you don't know the answer, don't answer.
Right. There was a question in the first that I knew, and the only name in my head was Anwar Sadat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 90% sure, but I think it was a $1,000 question. So I was like, if I miss this.
That's $1,000.
And so I did not buzz in, and I was right. But I'd still rather do that. I wound up, the whole game, I missed one question, and I knew I was wrong, but I was desperate at that point, just trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And so, but it was a $2,000 question.
Yeah, you got to go for it.
At that point, I was $10,000 behind, and there was like $8,000 left on the board. Mm-hmm. And so, I went for it and missed it. So
yeah,
that was the final nail in the coffin. But it was really done when he got both deadly doubles.
Yeah,
it was just out of reach.
Yeah,
but that's okay. I mean, from that point, I was in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm playing for second place. I've got to beat Kyle over here. So I didn't give up. You know, yeah. And I got the last four questions right, I think.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was happy with the way it started and happy with the way it ended. It's just the middle part that sucks. Yeah.
So the final Jeopardy question, the answer was the Wailing Wall.
Well, it came up, the category was religion. Right. I was like, God, yeah. I wish I was in competition for this because, yeah, you know, I'm a student of religion a little bit. So, but yeah, it was a pretty easy question. We all three got it right. But at that point,
even Kyle.
At that point, I just bet enough to make sure that I stayed in second place if I got it correctly.
Right, because I think that, you know, I think if you've watched the game casually, it's a lot of, you know, looking for the right number, you know, like the right dollar amount. And, you know, I mean, like you said, you'd realize there's eight, I'm 10 grand behind, there's eight left on the board, you know, your strategy changed. You only ended up beating him by how many dollars?
Well, I only bet enough. Because, see, second place gets $2,000 no matter what your final score is.
Right,
so there's no point in me betting a whole lot of money. I just bet enough to beat him by a dollar if he doubled his score.
Yeah.
And so
Which was totally humiliating and great.
That was my favorite part of the
because he was like, I got second.
By $3.
Yeah, because Trebek's like, and Kyle in second place
for now.
Let's go to Dan.
Now, what I hate is when somebody's playing for first and it's like $36,000 versus $36,001.
Oh.
I was like, can you imagine having $36,000 at the end of the game and only getting $2,000?
That's that Price is Right garbage.
That's really, yeah. If you overbid.
Yeah.
$1. That would be so depressing. I was playing for second and I got second.
Yeah.
So my goals were...
Well, you should have played to win, Dan.
That's what I'll do next time.
That's why Ponjal steamrolled you.
My first goal was to not be negative at the end of the game, because if you're negative, you don't get to do Final Jeopardy.
Oh, right.
That's the ultimate shame. It's like, okay, you're not going to be with us for Final Jeopardy.
If you are negative at the end of round one, you still get to play round two,
you're
right?
Fine there.
Okay. My first goal
was to not be negative at the end of second round. Yeah. My second goal was to not be third place. And so... You know, third goal was to win. So I got two out of three of my goals.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Which that's my mantra going into it, and what I told everybody when they said, good luck, you're going to win. I was like, well, there's two losers for every winner. And so, you know, and if you lose to a theoretical physicist from MIT,
but
you're not going to hang your head.
He didn't beat you based on the number of correct questions.
True. Though. He just answered the harder, more valuable questions.
He answered the more valuable questions.
Right.
And I think, you know, that there is a strategy to this. And I think if you take anything away from this episode, you know, as a behind-the-scenes look at Jeopardy, if you're interested in auditioning for Jeopardy or anything else like that, is there is a strategy to this game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think is just people
who watch
it casually, you don't really pick up on that because there's not really a strategy like this, like Wheel of Fortune. The strategy in Wheel of Fortune is, you know, common letters and don't, you know.
R-S-T-L-N-E.
Yeah, I mean, don't answer stupidly.
B-I-N-G-O.
which might be hard to do on Wheel of Fortune. But.
And when you watch Jeopardy, you just remember the things you got right, but if you actually track yourself, there are tools online you can see the ways to see what is called a Coriat score. You can really see how good you are, and when you actually start tracking yourself, it'll humble you very quickly because you realize how much of the stuff you didn't know.
Yeah,
a lot of times a casual viewer will focus on I got those.
I don't watch very often, but like I watched today with you, and I was shocked at how many that I actually did know. Right. I was like. Because it was like, what
I can
answered,
do this.
And I looked over at Dan. I was like, why didn't you answer? And you were like, I was locked out. I was like, oh, okay. Am I smarter than you, Dan?
Nope. I remember coming over here a couple times when you were training and watching it on TV. What was the number that they said that you had to score yourself per game?
If you could average 25,000, which what you do is you put the board in for Jeopardy and Double Jeopardy, and you count Final Jeopardy as $2,000. Mm. Don't do any daily doubles, but you put a plus for all the ones you get right, a minus if you miss it, mm-hmm. and just put a dot there if you don't even answer.
Yeah.
And when it's over with, you add up your score, and if you can average $25,000 a week, then you're ready to go on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Some weeks, some days I would get 36,000. I think one time I got as low as 9,000. Of course, that's where negative answers really kill you.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy. Like, you know, sometimes the shows are really tough. Like, sitting there watching it, were there some that were just like,
the Monday category was these are not Bible books, and then it was Bible books, but it was every category was like Exodus and First Kings, stuff like that, but it wasn't about the Bible.
Yeah.
But then the double Jeopardy category was Bible books.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh, why could I not have gotten that game?
Dan, they gave you a Broadway category.
And
don't get greedy
with
now.
Steve Martin there. But I was like, golly.
You got to say Steve Martin's name.
Yes, I did. I was so proud.
Maybe somewhere in his house today he had it on and heard his name.
He's like,
and
that's me. I'm Steve Martin.
I need to tweet him and say, hey,
no,
I answered your name on Jeopardy today.
Please do that.
I will. Yeah. I've actually been meaning to do that since the airing. Of course, you can't give anything away on social media.
That's right.
So I didn't want to post it, but now it's official. It's out there, so I can do it.
Do it right now.
No.
No right now.
It said nope.
Do it right now.
He's just hanging out. So.
Hey, Siri, open Twitter.
And everybody's phone.
She's not talking to me
right now.
Not
mine. It's too old.
Yeah. Your phone's sick.
Every time I say seriously at work, she says, what do you want? I was like, no, I said seriously.
What you want, Dan?
I say seriously way too often.
After the game, what happens?
We all go, we have a specific place we stand at. Well, first he comes over and shakes everybody's hands before there's a final commercial break.
Smelling.
You come back, so delicious. Like soft lavender. and then you have a specific place you stand where first place, second place, third place stand, and you talk about whatever. And Kyle totally monopolized the conversation. It was all about Kyle.
Kyle Schwitz. That's bad.
But it's just most of banal chit chat. About the final Jeopardy. Banal.
What did you talk about with Trebek?
Banal.
Banal.
James.
I gotcha. I'm sorry, I'm stupid.
Yeah. Yep. Let the guy who was on Jeopardy talk.
I'm a bad.
But I really don't remember a whole lot about it. I think Kyle was talking about his garage again and his tools.
Kyle.
And I think I said something about those daily doubles were all pretty easy, and Pranjal agreed with me.
Yeah, he did.
And Kyle was like, I have a chisel.
I'd like to buy a vowel.
You just look over, Pranjal's wearing a gold cape and has money crown.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible, because I just pictured
Slumdog Jeopardy.
Yeah. Millionaire. Yeah. All right, so...
Yeah, that's what you could do next. Go on Millionaire.
And then
they
went,
still make it,
then
right?
I went back into the audience and watched the last game. And then when it was over, like, I went to the green room to get my... Because you take three sets of clothes with you in case you win. You know, they do three shows in the morning, two in the afternoon.
Was Kyle wearing your clothes?
No. So I went back to the green room.
I'm Dan.
I went back to the green room to get my clothes, and the door was locked. And so I was standing there. I think I went earlier than they meant for me to. So I was standing there by the door, and the... audiences are leaving goes by that door, and so everyone's like, oh, you did a good job, you know. I was like, yeah, I lost it. But like, the whole 200 people as they filed out were
good job.
Right by me.
So like
it was like a reverse walk of shame. It was a stand of shame.
You stand there while everybody walks past.
Was somebody ringing a bell and going, shame? Shame.
I was the mountain.
You were in the stocks there.
But if you're listening and you're ever on Jeopardy, wait until they tell you to go to the green room before you go.
Pro tip,
otherwise you're gonna be embarrassed.
Well, unless you're the winner.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're the winner, just
do whatever.
Rip off your shirt and say, look at this.
Woo! You get put in a really awkward little league handshake line, apparently.
Yeah.
Good game.
But
it's awkward to pat that many people on the butt. It's just fine. Yeah.
But I only saw Pranjal's fourth game, which he won, and I don't know how it went after that. So I'm curious to see. I friended him on Facebook. We've talked a little bit, but I didn't ask him because I want to find out like everybody else.
Yeah.
So starting Monday, I'm like everybody else. I'm in the dark. I don't know how long he goes. Maybe he's a 100-day champion and I was just one stepping stone.
He's
in his
still
way.
Playing Jeopardy right now.
He very well could be.
He's like,
he lives in LA
he's
now.
He's like, sorry, Dan, got to go. Final Jeopardy. Pranjal!
I started to get on there and like talk some smack to him today, like, you're going down, because he's really funny and stuff, and do like a fake war. But I was like,
when
nah.
when you watched this earlier with a group of people, was there anyone who thought maybe the outcome? Like, you didn't know the outcome?
No, I think everybody was pretty sure.
I just, well, I've had several people been like, well, I mean, I guess he's going to do real good.
Mm. I mean, like, Dan gave it all away because he was like the second day, because he was like, I'm going to film Jeopardy today on Facebook. And then the next day he was out touring sites. So I was like, no, well, he didn't stay.
You didn't know how they film.
Yeah. So,
I could have been up to a 5-day champion in one day. But
yeah.
That was not the case.
And see, that's the thing. Like, that's what I really wonder about, like, Ken Jennings. I mean,
how long did he live at Jeopardy Studios?
He said he had to come up with a lot of excuses for missing work.
The excuses, I'm winning Jeopardy, you guys.
Ken, I want to like you, man.
I don't know him personally.
Fun fact, Kyle Murphy is an imperfect clone of Ken Jennings.
So he's like clone number 4 in Multiplicity.
I got a wallet.
I'm gonna drive a car.
I'm gonna eat a dolphin.
Did you bring me a monkey?
sorry, Steve. That leg is gonna have to come off.
Yeah. I got a chainsaw.
I love that movie.
No, he's the real apathetic version of Michael Ken.
Oh, so he's number 3?
He was the
number 3.
Broadway musicals, I guess.
Yeah, that was number 3. Yeah. Number 2 was the man's man version. I've got to go home and watch Multiplicity.
Yeah, no.
It's a good one.
So, you did this. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about this?
Watershed moment, bucket list. You know, life is before and after Jeopardy.
Always throwing stuff off my bucket list.
It was a culmination of...
This was not one of them.
...of a lot of attempts. And something I've wanted to do forever. And so I'm very satisfied, very happy with the way things went.
I mean, this... I think it would be different. It was like, you know, I got randomly selected once on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's
different.
Which,
that's not very random.
No, actually, it's not.
It's not, because, like... I was listening to an interview with Ralph Garman, and he's one of the radio hosts on the Kevin and Bean show. And he talked about when he first moved out to L.A., him and his friends, they made their money by appearing on game shows.
Yeah.
And they were on
Aaron Paul. Yeah. He was on there.
And he was on Price is Right. And I was like, that's when I realized, I was like, oh, my God, they get actors to go in. You know, up-and-comers to go in and do those shows.
Yeah, a lot of stuff like that.
So, yeah, those aren't random contestants normally. They're pre-selected.
Some of them are, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeopardy, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah. Jeopardy's like, you know.
You run the gauntlet of trivia. I mean,
ever been defeated by the Justice Geeks in trivia? Yeah. You're hired.
What is yes?
Hey, what Dan. What is sad?
Hey, Dan.
How many asterisks you got? What's up, Logan?
Proud of you.
Thank you,
brother.
Yeah,
man. You really did us good.
Yeah,
today.
I think this is a thing that, like, I can see where maybe you could be.
You could run like a restaurant.
I thought about this afterwards. I was like, you know, is he going to be bummed out about this? Is like watching it again going to be, you know, like, you know, I could have done this, because that's how I would have taken it. Like, if I had the opportunity to see myself do something like that. Because, you know, I mean, like, you'd be like, that's the moment. Like, there it is. And you know it's coming. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, the local papers around here have put it in the paper a couple times. And, you know, this isn't exactly the media climate to be appreciated for something like that. Local man on TV is what it said.
Yeah.
And I think TV was misspelled.
Yeah. Oh, it was like, man.
local with an R.
Local man on TiVo.
Huh. Maybe.
That's pretty much what it was. I don't think anybody... Well, everybody works at 3:30.
I watched it live.
Yeah. I think I would have watched it
today off.
I don't normally... No, I get off at 3. I don't normally watch it live, but I did watch it live.
So you've watched it 3 times today at least.
Yes.
He's going to watch it
live. You watched it at the Jeopardy party. You watched it here.
So it's not too depressing.
He's going to watch it till he wins.
I'm going to start editing a little bit.
I'm just saying, like, you know, you could do like Rocky Balboa. Yeah, he wins a couple fights, and then he opens up Adrian's, the restaurant.
Yeah.
So now you've been on Jeopardy. You can open up a restaurant and just go in there and tell stories about that one day.
customers. I'll serve Indian food.
I will say you're horrible.
And all your friends get to eat for free because that's how it is in Rocky.
Of course.
Kyle can wash dishes because he's broke.
Exactly.
He's not even good at that. So, what your little story that Trebek asked you about was being in community theater and being Edna Turnblad.
Right.
You have discovered that someone on Reddit was like, "Hey, I wonder what Dan looked like in that dress."
They said I got to see a picture of Dan in that dress.
Yeah. So
totally not creepy person on Reddit.
A Jeopardy like subreddit.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So if you go and go to justusgeeks.com and look at the episode show notes, you can see photos of Dan as Edna Turnblad. So that's a little bonus for you there. You know, you went and did it. You played a hell of a good game, man.
Yeah, you did.
I mean,
had a great time.
Yeah, you really did good.
I don't think that they're, you know, it's one of those things where I was like, man, this game is built for Dan. And then dude found daily doubles, but it was an entertaining game. You beat Kyle. That's all that matters.
Oh, man, I'm looking on the subreddit right now, yeah. And they are like reaming Kyle.
Yeah, it's like, the very first one, it's like, Alex, remember your phrasing. Kyle.
Whatever, old man.
You're a douche, Kyle.
You go down to one of the other responses. He looks like he doesn't want to be there.
No, he really didn't. He looked like he was very, like, inconvenienced to have to be on that show.
It was inconvenient to see him on that show. Anyway.
Oh, right. Hell. Quote Kyle.
That was weird. Anyway, so...
I did not make a fool of myself, which was the number one main goal.
No,
you certainly were not Kyle.
Okay, there's another one. Kyle, don't you dare sass Alex when he reminds you about your phrasing, amateur hour. And then somebody quotes, all hell.
So if you can find the episode from July 21st, definitely do that. It's absolutely worth the watch. All right. Is that it? Anybody have any other questions about the Jeopardy before we move on? Yes, no? All right.
I got to say, that Weird Al song's now about you.
Lost on Jeopardy, baby.
Yeah. So if you have any questions or you want to tell Dan, congratulations. He is our most featured guest on the Just Us Geeks podcast. He has been on more than James and Logan.
Yeah, he really has.
Yeah.
Dan, somebody's already beat you to it and
has snooped
your picture.
You can just go reply to them now and be like, yep, that's me.
Who is that?
Oh, my goodness.
W. Jack Mullins has said, I did a little snooping.
From the Daily Corinthian,
hopefully,
too.
Hopefully, this isn't as creepy as it feels.
Dan, please tell him it's creepy.
Yeah, he'll be like, okay, it's really creepy.
Okay, yeah. I'm getting on there, too.
I'll find it later.
Okay. Yep. All right. So, we'll do the keyboard. Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
Reddit is a dangerous place, people. Good Lord.
That didn't take long.
Especially if you're Kyle. Let us tell Dan congratulations on...
Congratulations. Social
media and the Facebook group and tell Kyle where he can go.
Right. Suck it, Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle.
Nobody likes you, Kyle.
Nobody likes you, Kyle. Nobody's asking you for your jam of the week.
Yeah.
Kyle, you idiot.
Stupid Kyle.
Stupid
Kyle. Maybe he cuts his hand on one with power tools. Because I got to have a two-car garage for my power tools.
He is a power tool. Logan, you're our power tool. What's your jam of the week? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do my pun hands.
Yeah.
That sweet pun I made earlier is my jam of the week.
Your puns are horrible, and they do not count as jams.
They're jams, my
friend. No, they're not.
No.
My jam this week, I'm going to have to say I got a new laptop for writing, so I'm really excited.
A writing laptop?
It's not even November.
Yeah. Is it a Chromebook?
No, it's just like a crappy HP to write on. Yeah, so I'm excited about
But you can type
again.
On it.
Yeah.
You know you can type on it. There's like word processing software. You don't have to like physically write
just,
on it.
I use the dry erase markers. It's cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just take a picture of it.
It's like
finish a page.
It's like a new Etch-A-Sketch.
Don't question his methods.
No, yeah. I don't.
I'll question everything.
I do what I do.
Yeah, you do
And
what
you do.
Do
it wrong.
Go home, James.
I'm trying.
When did you get that, the laptop?
I got it this past weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can find Logan, break his laptop.
Oh, my God, please.
No. You remember that time we were like,
it's
hey,
in
Logan.
My car.
You remember that time we were like, hey, if you see Logan at Gen Con, punch him
in the face.
Punch him
in the face. And no one did it. I was so upset.
Me too. Except for that girl. Ian, what's your jam of the week?
My jam of the week in preparation for the release of No Man's Sky. I've been in a real spacey mood. And I saw something on Xbox for called Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Yeah, it originally came out for PC, so I ran over to Steam, purchased it, and I'm having a lot of fun crashing rockets.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it good? I've never played it.
It's a physics-based game where basically you're kind of directing the space program for this little alien race called the Kerbals, and essentially all you do is you have all these different parts and you can build rockets and you can launch them into outer space, but it actually uses like real rocket science and
orbital telemetries and all this other stuff that you had to have to learn.
You gotta be smart.
The winner would know how to play this game.
Punjab would be all over that one.
But it's really cool. Like, you start out just trying to fly, like build planes that you can fly, and then you build rockets that'll take you into the upper atmosphere, and then eventually you can land on the moon, which is MUN, and then there's
the
other
mun?
You can launch you can build satellites and launch them. You can visit other planets deeper into the solar system. Like, that's where it gets, and you like have to use the orbit of planets in your path to swing you around and launch. It's
slingshots.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Nice.
Fun.
It's fun though.
Dan, what's your jam of the week?
If I may be so bold as to give a jam and a future jam.
Yes, the future jam.
My jam of the week is the Eldritch Moon Magic the Gathering pre-release we had last weekend. I won
our card pre-release,
and it's I like the deck. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
But Max has since built a deck out of the cards we got and thrashed me with it.
Dang it.
But the last pre-release, he beat me in the last round, and he won the last pre-release, so I got my revenge this time.
Nice.
My future jam is my children and my mother and I are going to New York next week to watch Hamilton.
Yes.
So jealous.
I'm so excited. Now, the big stars are gone. You know.
No. Chris Jackson is still there.
Chris Jackson and
Renee. She's still there.
Renee Elis Goldsberry.
Yeah.
You know, so but the thing is, it's a good show. It's going to be good anyway. Yeah. I don't care who's singing it. I'm super excited.
It's going to be good. Then we'll do our Hamilton episode for reals.
Yes.
There we go. Jamez, what's your jam of the week?
I got a mini and a major.
Mini, major, go.
Mini is this letter that I have that I don't know if it's going to ever get released.
It won't.
But it is amazing.
Okay. That's all we need to say about it.
It's just about boycotting something.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Is it good? It's very good.
I can't wait for this.
And then my real jam is the night of the HBO miniseries, The Night Of. It's going to run 8 episodes. We're 2 episodes in, and I'm really digging it.
Okay. Mine is also TV themed. I forgot that was coming on. But mine is Stranger Things on Netflix. Oh, my God. If you're not watching this.
I'm not watching.
Well, you can because it's on Netflix. Okay. And it's real easy. Holy crap, is it good. I mean, super good. It's set in the 80s.
How many episodes?
8.
Perfect.
It looks...
I was going to say, mine is a murder mystery kind of... You didn't let me give a synopsis, it's going to cut it off, but it's cool. It's on HBO. Check it out. If you like murder mysteries.
Is there anybody like spectacularly famous in it or no?
John Turturro.
Turturro's in it.
That's right.
There's famous people like in the first 2 episodes I've seen. You see people, you're like, oh crap, it's that guy. And, like, there's people that are in and out of it.
You said it was like a version of Serial.
It really reminds me of Adnan, but I'm only 2 episodes in, so it's really hard to tell where it's gonna go. But as of right now, the way that the evidence is being laid out and how they don't really have anything on him, it really reminds me of Adnan Syed, which. You know, this is set in New York, and so it's clearly it's not Adnan, but
it's just a little bit over.
It's just a little bit of it.
Yeah,
nice.
But it's based on a BBC show.
Well, then it's automatically good.
Yeah, called Criminal Justice, I think was the name of the show.
What a lame name.
Yeah. I watched the first episode. I thought it was pretty good. I got to catch the second one.
It does pick up. I mean, that first episode's an hour and a half long. The first episode
it was
a movie.
Really long.
Vinyl, and I hated it.
But there's a lot that happened.
Vinyl got canceled.
Vinyl
was in pre-production for season 2, and the HBO was like, nope, stop.
They need to stop doing that. That's too much.
It's too long.
Well, this is not going to have multiple seasons. This is just The Night Of is just 8 episodes. The first episode was an hour and a half because there's a lot to get in.
Well, I think that's what they intended to do with True Detective too, but then it was like uber popular.
And if you really,
and then
it's
it
like
wasn't.
Based on books. Yeah.
But if you really think about it though, for a show like that where they're talking about this murder that takes place and everything, you really want to get all of that stuff in that very
first
episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, if it's told well, it'd
gotta,
probably be okay. I just
you've got
to
get
the
it is long.
You've
got to
get your character introductions. Then you've got to get him being with the person that gets killed, their whole thing, the actual murder, and then the arrest. You've got to get up to him going to jail.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a real tense moment. That was
like
a good one.
The whole thing. Once the cops stop him, you're like, oh crap, and then you're just sitting there the whole time, like, oh my god, what? They still don't. Oh my god, what the?
Yeah,
it's
nice.
It's
good.
Really good.
And Stranger Things is 45-minute episodes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Okay. It's really really well done. So
I thought about starting that tonight. What's it about?
It's paranormal. It's really cool. It's like a...
But it's an 80s motif.
Yeah. Oh, it's so 80s. It is so 80s you can't even believe. And it's
is Ghostbusters there?
No.
Yeah, I read an article today about that show. And
it's awesome.
The only thing the article talked about was how they nailed the
look.
80s.
It's perfect. And the acting is pretty great. Winona Ryder's in it.
Oh, nice.
Good. Oh, okay.
All right.
What does she steal? The show? Nah. Terrible. Yeah, because she, you know, shoplifted that one time.
Terrible. I know.
She's a klepto.
Logan's done.
Whatever.
Oh, hell. Oh,
hell. All hail.
I forgot Dan can't hear this.
Oh, is that I lost some Jeopardy?
No, it's just Jeopardy.
Gosh. He's saying, I love some Jeopardy.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway. Dan. All right. Special thanks to Big Dan for coming and telling his Jeopardy story and being on the show again.
Does that sound different?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Kyle Schwitz.
It's my personal theme song. Mm.
Yes, you could just ride around with us now. Mm. All right.
We get it, Dan. You were on Jeopardy.
Thanks for not being that guy.
Want to watch it again before you leave?
Yeah, I've actually got to watch it tomorrow night with the wife. We've got a DVR.
You're just going to show this like every party?
Tell her you haven't seen it yet. And she's like, wow, you know everything.
Yeah.
You're so smart. I want to marry you.
This is the new New Year's Eve party tradition.
Yeah. We're going to watch Jeopardy. Against their will, I'm going to make them watch Jeopardy.
Everyone will sit down.
We use my house every year. You're going to sit down and watch this.
No fireworks until you watch Jeopardy.
There's going to always be one new person who doesn't know.
Who's not seen it. Like, guys, they've not seen my show.
Guys, Dan, get out of here. It's my house. Get out of here. All right. Make sure you keep checking out JusticeGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from Texas Transformers, TV music, news reviews, Dan being on Jeopardy, and more. You can find it all over at JusticeGeeks.com. Go to Facebook.com/JusticeGeeks, Instagram and Twitter at JusticeGeeks. And the Facebook group, Jugheads Incorporated. Good stuff. Go check out us drinking some Ecto Cooler over there.
It's good.
It's pretty delicious. It's
tasty.
So, do that thing.
Ooh, I lost on Jeopardy.
No, I love Jeopardy.
But my version is I lost on Jeopardy. My life is not in Jeopardy. My life is good.
That's right. Trebek sounds weird.
But I didn't lose on Jeopardy.
Who sings the theme song on Jeopardy?
It's just Alex Trebek backstage.
He's a beatboxer from way back.
I always wondered if
he's a terrible beatboxer.
If there was like an unofficial theme song that like he made up, that would be funny. He's just like singing it to himself when he's walking out.
Like in My Fellow Americans, where they talk about the the song?
Yeah, hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief. He's the chief and he needs hailing. So everybody hail like crazy.
So does he wear pants behind that podium?
Sometimes. No. It depends on how much he likes you.
Short pants.
Wear pants behind the podium.
Negative.
Canadians were born with pants on, so yeah. Sorry about it. He's like an avid gardener.
Kyle looked like he had something spiky in his pants the whole game. Just like, nope, I'm not. I don't.
No, it
be
looked
here.
Like he was. He kept looking out to his overprotective, overpushing father in the audience every time he got a wrong answer.
Sorry, Kyle. You got beat when you got home.
You dishonored me.
I hate you, Kyle.
Kyle's dead
they
now.
They beheaded him.
Maybe so.
Honor death.
We'll find out real soon. All right. Say, say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
What is thanks for listening, you idiots?